title to this discourse, it would be, "Will You Also Go at Length?" I want to start reading John 6 chapter. Let's turn to John, the 6th chapter, 48th verse.
Have it, you can read it for us, please. I'm going to read quite a bit to kind of get the basic background here.
John 6:48.
Yes.
He said, "I am that bread of life."
I am that bread of life.
"Your fathers
did eat manna in the wilderness,
and they are dead.
This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof, and he shall not die.
I am the living bread
which came down from heaven. If any man eateth of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us of his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man, and you drink of his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogues as he taught in Capernaum. Now I'm going to go a little further in this, but I want us to kind of get the background here. The background here is, let's say it's in real time. Okay, now we are looking at it from this, from the standpoint of historical data that we see, but this is happening in real time. And if someone comes up to you and they say these kinds of things, it seems like it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? It seems like there is something, well, this guy is telling us that that we're to eat his flesh and drink his blood. That's just kind of, there's something about that that doesn't compute with me. It's what these people were saying, and this is what's happening. And what I want us to understand is that we're living in a time nowadays that everything to us has to make sense. And everything in the Bible makes sense.
Right.
And I want us to understand that there's nothing in the Bible that is contrary to common sense.
Right.
It is just that we don't understand it. It has to be translated from one language to the other. So in other words, he's talking in a spiritual language here, and we're receiving it in a carnal language, right?
Right.
Now he's using the same words, but we have to have the Spirit of God in us to be able to understand what Jesus is really talking about.
Right.
We have to understand that he's not literally talking about we're going to take a bite off of his flesh. It's actually talking about he is the bread of life. He is life. He is the essence of life. His blood is the essence of life. Just like our blood is the essence of our lives. His blood, what are we saved by? We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We partake of it. We are washed in the blood. It cleanses us. And we have to understand that. Now, there are those, the sister Audrey knows, speaks Spanish, right? I don't speak Spanish. There's a few words that I can understand, a few foreign languages that I can understand a few words. But it doesn't make sense to me unless somebody translates it, right? Once it's translated into a language which I can receive and I can understand and my mind is set there, then all of it begins to kind of fall in place and make sense. All right? But if it doesn't make sense to you and you don't seek for an interpretation or translation of that, then you're going to say, you know, this doesn't make sense to me. I don't know what you guys are here talking about, but I'm not going to eat this man's flesh. I'm not going to do this. This is what's happening.
Right.
This is what's happening in real time here. And let me say this. This is what's happening in our world today.
Yeah.
There are some things about salvation. There are some things about spiritual life that doesn't make sense to the common man. Some of the things that you're doing, some of the ways that you're living, some of the things that you're abstaining for, it just doesn't make sense. Why can't you do that? What's wrong with that? It's nothing wrong with me doing this or doing that. Or why do you have to do that? Or why do you have to do this? Whatever it may be. Do you understand that you have to be in a spiritual zone to understand the principles of why we do what we do? All right? It doesn't make sense, but this is what's happening in our world today.
Yeah.
Our world, we are deconstructing. And when I say we in our world, it's not just Church of God. It's everywhere you look. If we were to put Christendom, religion, Christian Christianity, let's put it that way. If we were to put Christianity together, there is a lot of deconstruction that's going on. Yeah. There's a lot of things that people are rethinking, that people are understanding different. I'm seeing that a little bit different than the way I used to see it. And I don't quite know if I'm going to do it like this or not. But let me tell you what we have to understand as well. We have to understand that there is a strong spirit of Antichrist in the world today, okay? Yeah. So what it is, anything that is of Christ, there is a spirit of Antichrist that goes directly against it. And so what the devil is going to do, he's going to make certain that when there is something spiritual, there is a spiritual principle about the way that we live our lives, about the way that we do the things. There is a scriptural and a spiritual principle and a Christ-like principle, that we are abiding by. And when we understand the principle of it, then it makes sense to us. It makes sense that what the Lord did and why we do what we do. All right, so here, but we have to understand that there is this Antichrist spirit. There is a spirit in the world that is more pervasive than it ever has been. Yeah. That everything that we do, there is something that comes against us to prevent us from believing this way. Just think of it. Just think, 5 years ago. 5 years ago, do you think, and I believe I can say 5 years ago, do you think that it would have been as pervasive that there is a gender change and then there is a question mark in everybody's mind about that there's more than one gender? More than two genders, I'm sorry. All right, now, it's always been, down through the annals of time, there's been a male and a female, right? There's been a male and a female. If you go back to Genesis, we understand and we find out that the Lord said He created them. What did He do? He created them man and woman, male and female. That's all that there is. Well, now there is just a social construct now. It's just a social construct. We have created that. We have created in our minds that there is only two genders. No, that is a scriptural, natural, by nature. It is something by nature. But then there's this spirit that comes in, and it makes us question whether or not there's more than two genders. And there's only two, right? There's not three. There's not a whole lot. There is a husband and a wife. All of these things. And now, what is it? What is a type of a husband and a wife? What does the scripture say it's a type of? Christ and the church. All right. So if you've got Christ and the church, and the church is always in a female, when we speak about the church, it's always about the bride of Christ.
Right.
That we're, He's the bridegroom. We're the bride of Christ. It's always just two genders. But nowadays, let me say, that spirit that is coming against us so strongly today is saying, you know what, there can be two. And this just happened in the last 10 years or so. All right? So all this change, this exponential change that is happening in our world today, and if we as Christians, we just stand here, then we look like we're old fogey and we're the odd man out, right? You're still believing that kind of stuff? You're still believing that two men can't marry and two women can't get married? Let me tell you, we love those individuals, don't we? We don't disregard them and not love them. We want to love them and we want to embrace them. Yeah. We want them to know that they are welcome in our circles, with the understanding that we're not going to change as a result of what you're doing, right?
Right.
Isn't that fair?
Yes.
If you're coming into my house, I have every right to tell you to take your shoes off.
Yes.
And if you don't want to take your shoes off, you can just stay outside, right?
Right.
I have every right to say that, right?
Yes.
And in the same way, God has every right, if you're wanting to get into His heaven, there are certain things that He is requiring of you and requiring of me, and that He has every right to say, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it.
Right.
If you don't want to believe this way, you don't have to believe this way. If you don't want to make the transition and the translation and change from the way that you're thinking to a new way of thinking, then you don't have to do it. But you cannot have the expectation that you're going to be get through the gates, right? So we have to understand that there is this Christ-like spirit that we have as Christians, as saints of God, that we're endeavoring by the grace of God to stand here and to do what God is requiring us to do. And then there is this opposition that is coming against us on a daily basis, hourly basis. We see it on our phones, on the internet. We see things that are just coming against us. We have become a global, we've become global. It used to be that we were just in our little local area. All right, and all we understood was what was going on in Ogmoye, Oklahoma. And nothing was going on in Ogmoye, Oklahoma. Right? I'm from there, so I can talk about it, right? And whatever little city you were from, my wife was from L.A. Well, it was a whole lot going on there, but we were still localized. We only knew what was happening. We'd get the newspaper, we'd open it up, and we'd see what's happening way across the world and all this. But it was in the morning, and maybe if you had an evening paper, you got it in the evening.
Right.
But now it's at your fingertips. I get this little thing on my phone, tell me how many hours I spend every day, at the end of the week. It tells you how much screen time you've had, right? Y'all have the same thing? It tells you how much. Isn't it amazing how much time you waste on that thing? I was thinking this morning, I spent that much time per day, on average, on my phone. Was I just doing work? No, we were scrolling through things, looking. Yes, I was navigating from here to Oklahoma and various places and all that. We were navigating. Yeah, we do a lot of that, but then there's a lot of things that we want to look up. What's going on in Israel? Was we said that we were supposed to be going to Israel on Tuesday. That's not going to happen. What's going on? Why are they fighting? Why is Hamas fighting the Israelis? And why do we have all? Why is all this stuff happening? We can know what's going on, play by play.
Right.
It's not just that I'll find out in tomorrow's news or at 11 o'clock. I can know right now what's going on somewhere way across the world. I can know how people are processing things right here in America, in California, in San Francisco, in New York, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, wherever it is. I can know what's going on just at the click of a button, right? Now, do you suppose that that has any bearing on how I live my life? Do you suppose that I'm influenced in any kind of way about what's going on elsewhere?
Right.
I can look at what's going on in other churches. I can see how other ministers are dealing with whatever their issues are, what other Christians are doing. Do you think for a moment that that does not have an effect on us? Absolutely it does.
Yeah.
And sometimes we question what we do and whether or not what we do is the thing that we should be doing. And oftentimes, we localize in our own minds that the things that we're doing are a little bit different than, and the only a little different than everybody else. Yeah, it is. There is a level of truth to that. But let me tell you, every church is having a struggle keeping their members just like we are. Because that spirit of Antichrist that is coming against Christianity in general, not just Church of God, in general, everywhere, that spirit of Antichrist is coming so strongly against us that it's whispering in your ear that this doesn't make sense anymore for you to stand here and not make any major adjustments like everybody else is making. You know what? I read somewhere, and I don't remember where I read it, but years ago, I read something. They said, you know how to become how a liberal can become a conservative. A liberal can become a conservative by simply not changing his position for the next 30 years. And because the world is changing so rapidly, the things that we once just took for granted as something that was all of us believed at some point, all of us here believe that there are just two genders, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the things that we believe, right? Everybody in here, and I know I'm going on the extreme side here,
right.
And all of us believe that the marriage is between a man and a woman, right?
Yeah.
All of us believe that. But you would be surprised if you go on that internet and you start scrolling up how many young people don't believe that anymore. All right? How the change is taking place. And they're not after those of us that are middle-aged. They're not after us. They're after our children, our grandchildren. And by the time our grandchildren are adults, they're not going to believe hardly anything if we don't. They're not going to believe hardly anything that we currently believe. They're going to question. There's going to be a question mark in their mind about all of these things when they get to be that age. Well, Dad, this is what I learned in biology class. That there are, and they've got the proof there. But let me tell you what the devil can do. This thing right here, whatever truth is, and we believe that what we stand for and what we live for is truth. But let me tell you, I've used this as an example before. You may have, I preached on it before on this, that you can take the word truth and you can say that we believe in truth. This, what we teach is truth, right? We can say that. But if you put this question mark behind it, then that there's something that happens to our brain.
Right.
Oh, this is truth. So if I say this is truth. All right, I say that, and that's a statement. But if I put a question mark behind that statement, something happens to it. My mind wonders whether or not that really is true, and that's all I have to do is just question it. Let me tell you what's happening in the world today. Let me tell you what's happening in the spiritual world today. The devil is questioning everything that we stand for. He's put a question mark behind it. All right, no matter what it is, he's put a question mark behind it. And we have to understand that we have to stand true to God no matter what. No matter what's happening in the world, no matter what the chaos is around us, we've got to find that balance and that place of truth, and we've got to stand there by the help and the grace of God. Only God can help us to do that. But saints, let me tell you, you stand there. You do whatever it takes to stand there, because God is not coming for people that fold up under pressure because everybody else is doing it. This is what I'm going to do too, and I'm going to capitulate to everybody else, what the world is doing. No, you stand for what God has shown you. And let me tell you how to do that. You ask the Lord to give you an understanding in your mind and a conviction down in your soul, so that no matter what everybody else is doing, you can stand there. Well, Brother Darrell, you're the only one standing. Well, then so be it, because I have a relationship with the Lord, and the Lord is showing me what this is where I am. And no matter what everybody else is doing, I've got to do it. Let me tell you, as it was in the days of Noah.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And how many people? Oh, y'all just a family church. Yeah, we are a family church. Isn't that wonderful? At least we can still win our families.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, as it was in the days of Noah, how many people were in the days of Noah? I don't know. 10,000, 100,000, a million. I don't know all over the world, but there were 8 that got on that ark. And you cannot tell me that that people weren't wondering if what the way Noah was doing, if they weren't wondering, is this? No, that's not necessary. It's not necessary for all the. But if I saw animals getting on that thing, it seemed like that would be something. Well, maybe I should get on it too. Two, and they just keep coming. Maybe I should get on that boat too. But let me tell you what's happening. We are being influenced by other people. And other people are influencing us away from what God himself is showing us. So here we are. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man eat thereof, he shall not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Oh, come on. Really? Really?
Yes.
This is what he's saying, really. We won't know it until we get over on the other side, but I want you to know this. We won't know it in the depth that we need to know it until we get on the other side. But I want to tell you, stand true to the Lord.
Amen.
Why are you here? Why are you still here? Can't you name 10 of your closest people that maybe you grew up with that aren't here anymore? They don't believe this anymore? Why do you believe it? Why do I believe it? You know why I believe it? Because the Lord showed it to me personally.
Amen.
It is not something that it was my mother and father's religion at one time, but now it is not. It's mine.
That's
it's mine. Why am I doing this? Would it be easier? Yeah, sometimes it would be easier if I didn't. It would be easier if I could just throw the whole thing down and just do what I want to do and just go somewhere, retire. That would be nice. I'm 60 years old, and you know, a couple of years, I can retire from preaching, right? No, I don't think so. I'm probably going to die doing this. Probably, by the help and the grace of God. But I intend to be faithful by the help and the grace of the Lord. All right, let's go a little further. Let's drop down. We stopped at the 29th verse. 59th verse, started at the 60th verse.
Many of therefore
his disciples, when they had heard this saying,
this is a hard saying,
who can hear it?
When Jesus knew
in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak. Now, here's the translation. Here's the translation here. He said, does this offend you? Do you know sometimes we get offended by what? Have you ever been offended by people in the church? Now, here's what I want to say. We as saints of God should not offend people.
Amen.
We should not. I mean, if you walk up to somebody and somebody is struggling and you yank on their dress tail or whatever, and you tell them what they should be doing, that's offensive.
Amen.
Particularly in they probably could have gotten away with it 75, 80 years ago or 50 or 60 years ago. We can't get away with that. We have to know our people, right? We have to know the people that we're here. You love the people. You be an example to the people, but you don't offend them.
Amen.
Under any condition. By the help and the grace of God, you don't offend them. But you know, there can be some times that people become offended at what is going on in the church. They become offended at what is preached in the church. They become offended. And you know what? When I preach something that, and there are some times that the Lord requires us to preach things that are seemingly a bit offensive.
Yeah.
And we have an understanding. But do you know why God doesn't just tell us on His own
Right. Some
things, but He tells us through a pastor, through someone that loves us, through someone that has struggled in the same situation that we're trying to tell you about. Some of the things, oh, Brother Darrell, you got all the big, Brother Tavis and Brother Henry, they've got all the victory in the world. No, they had to fight for their victory. They had to struggle for something. They had to pray about it before they could ever preach about it. And then some things there, we're very tentative when we pray about it because it's something that the Lord is still teaching us and the Lord is still working with us in. Right? And I want you to understand that. So the Lord says, I want to give my word. I want to filter it through a man with his weaknesses, with his issues, with his problems. And I want him to be able to give it to you so that you can understand it in a better way. Yes, he comes off very hard and strong. But let me tell you what he does. There's also this love and this tenderness on the side that he has and that he wants to share with you. Listen, I'm not there. I'm not completely there yet, we say. But I'm on my way by the grace of God. I'm not there yet. That's the word. Yet. And the reason we say I'm not there yet is because I'm going to get there by the help and the grace of God. But in the meantime, let us not be offended at the word of God.
Amen.
Let us not be offended at God. These people were offended. And if you look at it in the natural sense, it's like, you're telling me that I need to eat your flesh and drink your blood? Yeah, right. And you turn around, and that offends me. That offends my intelligence. Have anybody ever said, that offends my, what's the word? Is that the word we use?
Mm-hmm.
You offend my intelligence. I'm smarter than that. And you're just trying to get over. This is what they are saying. And they turn around, and they say, no, we're not going to take that. We're not going to do that. So he says, and Jesus, and knowing himself, his disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. So he's saying, listen, I know you guys are offended at what I just said, but here, the flesh profiteth nothing. It's not going to be of any benefit. When I say eat my flesh, I'm not talking about just eating my flesh. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
And by the time I'm talking to 1,000 people and every one of you took a little bite, I would be gone, right? If that was the case. So here he gives some level of explanation here. And so he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, these words that I've just got through saying, they are Spirit, and they're the ones that are life. So how do we do it? We eat the bread of life. This is the bread of life. This is the Word of God. It is the manna from heaven that when you need something, you need an inspiration, you need strength, you need something wonderful. Where do we go? We go to the Lord. Lord, just give me one scripture that will help me. One little nibble off of the Word of God that will help me. And then it seems like something happens. I read the Word and it's, have you ever turned to the Bible and it was just what you needed? Isn't that wonderful? Have you ever had a taste for something at home, and you just say, you know, I have a taste for, and you can't name it, but somebody gave you, no, that's not what I have a taste for, and then all of a sudden you come, I have a taste, and I know people in my family, my wife is one of them, if she has a taste for a chocolate cake at a certain place, nothing else will satisfy her, right? Now, if you say, I want something sweet, no, she wants a chocolate cake at such and such, and if you bring her something else, that's not going to work, right? She's going to say, stop talking about me. It's not going to work. Give me a Snicker bar. Just give me something and it'll satisfy me. No, for her it's not like that. And listen, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing when it comes to spiritual things. I want Jesus. That's what I feel like. That's what I need. And I don't want anything. I don't want a substitute. Don't give me a ding-dong, a little Hostess cupcake when I want something that has drizzle on it and it's somebody really took some effort to make it, right? I want that, and that only will satisfy me. Let me tell you, the only thing that will really satisfy the heart is Jesus. A little bit more of Him than I had last Sunday, a little bit more than I had the Sunday before. I'm going to get it a little bit more every day. Every I need it, and nothing else will satisfy me. Isn't that the way it should be?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't God a great God? All right, so we've got to have that kind of an appetite, and that's to let the Lord do it. And so he says, all right, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And he's making the translation. So he's saying, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that don't believe what I'm saying. You can't make the translation. Because you know what? One of the most important things about studying the Bible is not knowing the Greek and the Hebrew and having all the commentaries and all that. You know, one of the most important thing about studying the Bible is the condition of the heart. Yeah. Why am I studying it? What's the point of me studying the Word of God? I'm studying it to learn something. I'm studying it to get something for my own soul. Now, when my heart is right, now I can go to the Greek and I can get a deeper understanding, and I can go to all the translations and I can do all these things. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is me, the heart, the condition of my heart. And then once I get that right, then everything else falls into place. You believe that? I believe that too. All right, so here he says, it's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that just don't believe, he said. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Do you know the Lord looks at the heart? Yes. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Yes. And so the Lord is looking at the heart. And he said, he knew who was going to betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. So in other words, the Lord, there has to be something with God, that God comes and speaks to your heart, and then that makes the connection. And now we say, well, Lord, this is just difficult for me to take in. It would have been nothing wrong with them saying, okay, I'm having struggle with this. I'm struggling with what you're saying here. Can you give an explanation for that? Because it doesn't make sense to me. And then he goes into the translation. Well, my heart is right. I've looked at all the other things that you've done, Lord. And I've seen all the other things. And I'm your disciple. And that's what caused me, initiated my following you, was because I believed all the other things. But this right here is so hard. And do you know sometimes the Lord allows hard things to come our way? He allows offenses to come our way. And the reason he allows them to come our way is it's a test to see if we're going to stick with it or if we're going to go away. It's a test. And so some people, well, I got offended at what Brother Daryl did and what Brother so-and-so didn't do. And they didn't shake my hand and they didn't acknowledge what I did. And all that. Well, did you realize that might have been a test? That the Lord was trying to take you to another level because he wanted to use you in a deeper way. And there were going to be things that were offensive, that people were going to come against you. Do you realize that people have offended me all kind of way, have hurt me? You believe that? You believe that if you're the president of the United States, how many people talk about Biden and Trump? If they had thin skin, they could not do it. They could not do it because every time there was somebody talked about me and said I'm Sleepy Joe, and if that's how they felt about it, they should not be in that position. Now, we all have our opinions about it, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is being in a leadership position. God takes you through things that have the potential of offending you to get you to have thick skin and to get you to be able to say, you know what? Amen. If that's how they see me, so be it. But that's not going to stop me from following after the Lord. I'm hurt because she rejected me, because he rejected me, and because they rejected me. I'm hurt because of it. No, I'm not hurt because of it. I'm going to keep living for the Lord. The Lord hasn't rejected you. The Lord is just testing you. What doesn't kill you? What does it do? Make you stronger, right? That's the saying. And I can say that well, we can go on and on about that. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. All right, so we're going to go a little further here. Where did we stop?
66.
From that time, many of his disciples went back
and walked
no more with him. So they did not make the transition. They did not make the change where they went from, okay, this is not, he's not talking about. He just said that he's talking about spiritual. The words that I say don't profit anything. The flesh doesn't profit anything. But the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That's what's going to give you the life. So listen to the words that I say, and let's translate them into a spiritual kind of a way to do it. And most people never make that transition. So as a result, they deconstruct what it is. Well, you know, there's some things about Christianity that I just don't agree with. I don't see. I don't like. I can't embrace. And so therefore, as a result of that, I'm not going to follow it anymore. I'm not going to follow it to this level. And so what we have to understand, all of us at some point in our experience, we deconstruct what we believe. So we take it apart and we look at it and we say, okay, does this work for me? And then I have to look at it in this way. I look at it worked for the people in times past.
Yes.
And what are they? What did they do differently than what I'm doing now?
Right.
The world was a different time. They didn't have all the barrage of things that are coming against them like we have. And this is what gives us where we have to be very intentional about what we stand for and what we believe. We have to be very intentional about it.
Yes.
We have to be very intentional about, I don't care what my husband does or what my brother or what my sister, what my wife, my mother, my father. This is very intentional. This is what God, because guess what? When I stand before the Lord, guess who's going to be standing with me to be my advocate in my defense? Nobody.
Right.
It's going to be me.
Yes.
It's going to be me. So what is, the Lord said, I gave you the power. I gave
right.
you the strength to do it.
Yes.
And you could have been an influence to those individuals, but you let them be an influence to you.
Right.
So he's saying, well, Lord, the reason I went away and the reason I'm not saved today is because of what? How they hurt me. You just don't know how they offended me. And they, well, I didn't hurt you. I didn't offend you. I allowed you to be hurt. But it wasn't me that did it.
Yes.
I allowed these people to go through. And let me tell you something else. You're talking about all the folks that hurt you. Guess how many people you've hurt?
Yes.
Oh, you missed. Everything is perfect for you. You've not hurt anybody. Yes, you have.
Yes.
Lord, have mercy on us. So he said, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto his 12, will you also? Will you also go away? So that's the question he's asking us. Are you going to go too? You've seen other people that have done it. Are you going to do it too? And so, now, why did he say that? Did he say it was kind of like a longing? The reason I came down on this earth was to try to win every soul to me, is what Jesus is saying. Then he turns and he looks. And if you go up into the previous verses, what he says, he knew who didn't believe and he knew who was going to betray him.
Yeah.
And so he turns and looks at all 12 of them and he says, will you also go away? Will you also go away? And then what happened? Peter said,
then Simon Peter
Simon, said unto him,
to whom shall we go?
Thou hast the words of eternal life.
We
believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he looked at his disciple and he said, will you go away too? So the Lord is looking at us. He's looking at every one of us here in this audience. And he's saying, well, you're tempted. I know. The question has come in your mind.
Right.
I know. There's been some difficult things that you have had to deal with. I know.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, you know, only one of them betrayed me, but will you go away? Will you also go away? And Simon, the spokesman, always the one that speaks before he thinks, mm-hmm. in my mind. Everybody else is contemplating what Jesus is saying.
Right.
And they're thinking about what he's saying. And Simon Peter says, oh, no, Lord. But here's the point. He said, no, we're not going to go away. Where shall we go? Well, is there something better? Is there something better than this? Is there a place that I can go that's better than this? And we find out, no, it's not better. So what are we going to do? We're going to stay right here. Why is it not better? Oh, yeah, there's more entertainment somewhere. There's a greater level of whatever somewhere. But let me tell you, when the truth, the concentrated truth and the unadulterated truth is here. You're getting it preached to you every Sunday. You get to be able to listen to it in the songs that we sing, where they minister to our hearts. And there's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Where am I going to go? I'm going to go where there's somebody who last night, they went out and they drunk a little bit. This happens all over Christianity, right? And the choir director likes men, and the other the soloist she's living with a boyfriend, and the one on the organ, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying anything that you don't know about. We just overlooked that. I had a friend that told me one time. He said they have a family church too. Most of our small churches are family churches. The only other churches that are these big mega churches that people go to for status and all those kind of things. And maybe they're getting something. I'm not here to make judgments on them. What I'm here to say, because I don't like judging them, because I believe that there are saints everywhere.
Yeah.
I believe God has souls everywhere. But when we have an opportunity to have this concentrated truth, maybe it's not as exciting and boisterous as other places. But let me tell you, that's not what's going to get us to heaven, is it? What's going to get us to heaven is walking the straight and narrow way and standing where God wants us to stand.
Yeah.
In every area, in every issue of life, standing here, this is what God is requiring of me, and this is what I'm going to do by the help and the grace of God. So he asked them, he said, will you also go away? And he says, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the thou hast the words of eternal life. He's speaking about words to here again. You have the words of eternal life. What you're saying, we understand. We've made the translation. We understand it. It's in our heart. Yes, we're going to eat your flesh. Yes, we're going to partake of your suffering. This is what he's saying. The blood that was shed for us. Yes, we're going to partake of it. We're going to embrace it. And we're going to be willing to die on our crosses as well. We're willing to do that. Yes, there are going to be some things that we're doing that are going to, there's a cross that I have to bear. He says, there's a song that says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. So I've got to put myself upon that cross and I've got to die when my flesh wants to do one thing and the Lord says, do another thing. Then I have to make the choice as to whether or not I'm going to submit to the Lord or to my flesh. And every time, by the grace of God, what I want to do is to submit to to the Lord, not to my flesh. I want to crucify it. I want to put it on the cross. I want to die daily. I want to understand that it profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing. Lord, help us. All right? Will you also go away? And he said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure. We are sure. We believe it, and we're sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know why I'm still part of the Church of God? Because I believe and I'm sure that this is a vehicle, this is an ark that will take me to heaven. Why do I need to go and test something else? Why do I need to do that? I don't need to do it. You know why I don't need to do it? Because I don't know how close I am to heaven. I might be closer than I think. I might go today. I don't know. I hope not, but if I do so, so be it. It's going to be y'all's loss and my gain, right? I guess it'll be your loss, but it'll definitely be my gain. But I've got to make certain that by the help of the grace of God that I'm doing what the Lord would have me to do. All right, so there was a conversion here. So he had to, when he was speaking about converting from the worldly wisdom into the way that the Lord thinks, that we have to do that in spiritual matters and spiritual principles. And when we understand that, and we have had... We've seen some people that have gotten down deep in the Lord that had a relationship that just, it's something about it that it's been wonderful, right? Yeah. We've seen that. And if they made it by the grace of God, we can. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. I'm not going to hold you long. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, 11th verse. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11.
For what man knoweth that thing of a man?
So what man knoweth the thing of a man save the spirit of the man which is in him?
Even so
the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now what this is telling us is the only way that we know anything of God is that we have to have the spirit of God. If you read the scripture and you just take the scripture I'm going to use the term face value for no other, because I don't know a better word for it. You just take it at face value. Some of the stuff that we've talked about doesn't make sense. If you just take it at face value, I said, and you've heard me preach on it before, one of the things that doesn't really compute and make sense to me in the natural sense is that Jesus died over 2,000 years ago on a cross. He was crucified, and it still has an effect on me.
Right.
Now, you make that make sense, that it still affects me because he died on a cross, took my sins, and if I believe and I enter into that death with him, then there's something that comes alive. There's something wonderful about it. It comes alive. And it happened to 2,000 years. Make it make sense. And this is why people are deconstructing it. This is why people are saying, you know what, I don't think that makes sense, because you know what, most churches are teaching that you cannot live a holy life.
Right.
And so what's the point in Jesus dying if you can't live holy? If he's not strong enough to give you the power and the grace to be able to live a righteous and a holy life. And this is why we don't need our voices silenced. This is why the Lord wants, I'm going to use this term for lack of a better, this branch of Christianity, this is why he doesn't want it gone, because we are teaching holiness. You go someplace else, they may not teach that. They may teach that you have to sin more or less every day, and that the grace covers it. Yes, grace covers it, but grace gives you power to live righteous and holy. Well, that may not be your experience, but let me tell you, the experience is there for you to have.
Right.
Even if it's not yours.
Yes.
And so what do? This little church here on this corner of the world, this little church here on this corner of the world, why is it needed? It's needed because the Lord needs somebody somewhere to say, yes, this is true. This is what it's all about. It's about living righteous, living holy, and let these brothers and these sisters live it out and preach it out and tell the world. And you go to your job and you preach it out and you tell the world. You go to your school, wherever that is. Does that mean that you're preaching and you're telling everybody y'all is sinners and y'all on your way to hell? That's not what you're doing. But let me tell you what your life is doing. Your life is permeating throughout the office, and everybody knows that there's something different about that guy and that girl. They know that there's something different about them. And what do? They come up to you when they're having problems, and they tell you about their problems, and they tell you to pray for them, and they tell you all of this thing. Let me tell you, they ain't telling some folks that they know is sleeping around with their with different partners and singing in the choir and all that. Got beautiful voices. Now, am I saying everybody's like that? No, I'm not saying everybody's like that. But what I am saying is that they know the difference. You know the difference, all right? Moving right along. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit that which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Read, please.
But the Spirit
which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not of the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. We're comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There are some things that are foolish to people, and people are saying, you know, that's why I'm not going to follow that way, is because I've deconstructed it and it makes absolutely no sense to me. I'm not going to do it. It's foolish. But let me tell you, this wise is the most wise thing that has ever happened. Let me tell you what the devil did. If you go on down and you read a little bit more, he says, listen, it's hidden. It's a hidden wisdom. The princes of this world didn't know about this wisdom. Had they known about this wisdom, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord, because what happened, Jesus is up on that cross and the devil is saying, I finally got him. I got Adam. Now I've got him. And he didn't know that by him killing Jesus, then all of a sudden the light comes on. The light comes on, and then all of a sudden he said, uh-oh, if this man dies, he's going to be resurrected. There's something about it. It's going to be the end of me. And so he said, if you be the Son of God, you come down. You come down and we'll believe you. He started getting everybody to say that. He didn't do it. He stayed on that cross. The love that he had for you, the love that he has for me, it held him to that cross. Yes, it did. And by the help and the grace of God, we can live and we can stay on our cross as well. And then what happens? The Lord dies and it's finished. And now the devil can be destroyed out of our lives. Sin. He came to destroy the works of the devil in that wonder in your life. I look at my life and I look at people that have left the Lord. And I look at my life versus their life. And I've never seen anyone whose life is better than that leaves the Lord than those that have stayed with them. I've never seen it. Have you?
No.
I haven't seen it either.
No.
Things fall apart. Life doesn't work the way that they want it to work. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Help us to stand firm and stand true. All right. So he said that, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Let's read another scripture. Acts 20, verse 22. One other scripture I'm going to read before we get to that one. It says here, I'm trying to expedite the time here. He says, beloved, this is 1 Peter 4 and 1. For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So the way that we process, the way that we think, it is part of our ammunition, our mindset. It's part of the ammunition. So we have to make certain that, well, you know, I'm going to have the right kind of, I'm going to let the Lord permeate and penetrate my mind. And rather than me have the things that are in the world and think like the world, I'm going to think like Jesus.
Yes.
And that gives us the kind of power that we need. All right? Acts 20:22.
And now behold,
I go bound into the Spirit of Jerusalem,
not knowing the things
which shall befall me there.
Say
that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry
which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Let me tell you, I know my situation is no different than anyone else's, but I know that there seems to be, over the last few years, a greater intensity that I have felt in the spirit of the enemy coming against us, coming against the church, coming against me personally, coming against you personally. I've seen that. And I have an understanding that the spirit of Antichrist is so strong in the world today. It's so very strong in everything. And we have to stand our ground and stand in the Lord. After you've done all to stand, what do you do? Just stand. I'm not going backward. I may not can go forward, but I'm not going backward by the help of the Lord. None of these things. What's happening in the world today? The things that we see that is going on in the world today, they are horrible, horrible things. And you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. Yeah, and they were saying, you know what? And I was saying, they're saying the things that are coming up on the world, they're so happy that they're not raising children right now. But you know, I say, you know what? I in one sense, I am too. I'm glad my children are grown, but my children have children. Yeah. And so I'm concerned about my grandchildren.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the enemy is coming after them.
Right.
And so we have to stand, and this is how we have to stand as a community, yeah, as a faith community. We have to stand, and we have to stand together. We can't. If there is something that's happened between you and your brother, you fix that.
Yeah.
You fix it. You make certain that there is nothing, that the devil comes and he has nothing, yeah, in you. He cannot get anything. He cannot get over on you. Why? Because,
yeah,
by the grace of God, I'm going to live the way the Lord wants me to live. So what, yeah, I'm going to say, what I'm going to say, there's a lot of things that are going on in the world today.
Yeah.
There are a lot of, and when I say Christianity, are a lot of folks that are deciding, you know what, this is not important. It's one of the least important things about me, so I'm not going to do it. But the Lord is asking you a question. Are you going to go away? Or have you said it in your heart and mind? You know what? To whom shall we go, Lord?
Yes.
To whom shall we go? You're the one that have, yes, eternal life. We believe and we're sure about it. And so this is what I want to say, and I want you to make your, the scripture tells us, to make our calling and election,
yes,
sure.
Yes.
Where you get that anchor, be very sure that your anchor holds and grips the solid,
yes,
rock. Pray for me.